5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ow! I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
Oh, we got to talk about some serious subjects here, Jim. So I want your best teeth in, please.
Put moron number two on the phone.
Halfway through that sentence, you knew you were in trouble.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Listen to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
Yabba dabba dabba doo. That's right. It's the Rush Hour, Wednesday, 11th of March. It is hump day and a big, big day. It's Bill and Joey. And g'day to Joey.
Hello, Bill. You up and about today? Oh, feeling good?
Always. Love it. Love it. Love this time. Beautiful day. Well, I haven't got coronavirus, so we're all good.
Yeah, that's true. Exactly right. Not that we know of, anyway.
Well, that's it. Big day, of course, as I said. Got Damien Barrett, first time for the year. Got a couple of questions for Damo about footy.
Yep.
What do you got for him? Just a tease?
Well, we've obviously got to ask about the coronavirus.
Yeah,
you know, there's some other footy news that I want to find out, particularly around some coaches. Who's going to be the big talking point? Which club are we going to be fascinated by as industry this season? There's always one club.
Yep.
I want to ask Damo, who that club's going to be?
And you had a good one about Essendon.
Yes.
Who is coaching Essendon, Damo?
Yeah.
So there's a tease. Mm-hmm. Oh, his glasses are fogged up. He's glad he doesn't know what to do. Also, we got another phoner after yesterday's phoner, which was very, very good indeed. Our tight is your mate. And we got this man here. Hello, Rabsy. It's hard sometimes, Jim, when you got to think on your feet and you're an intelligent man, and I try to be intelligent and I'm not sometimes.
That's right.
People don't understand that. Cause,
what?
Because your brain only works so much. Rabs.
You were struggling yesterday too, Bill, weren't you? You're a bit scratchy
early on. A couple of mistakes.
Big weekend for you, wasn't it, with
it was
a long weekend?
Huge weekend of froffies. But I'll tell you what, with the coronavirus around, there's other news. There's other fantastic world headline news, isn't there?
Is there ever, Bill? They're great.
Live across Victoria, it's the Rush Hour News with Anthony Brownless and Lee Montagna.
This is the serious news. We're going to stay away from corona. It's taken over the world. We know about that. But there's some other massive news in the world that we want to touch on, Bill, on this show, because that's what we do.
Yeah.
I'm going to start. This is huge, tragic news in the world. I don't know if you've heard about this. This is tragic.
What's happened?
This is on Mail Online earlier this morning. Ricky Gervais and his partner, Jane Fallon, have announced on Twitter the death of their cat, Ollie. Their 16-year-old cat passed away. Well, this made news, Bill. It made news.
Where at?
In the Mail Online. Their 16-year-old cat passed away. R.I.P. Ollie.
Mm.
So there's some big news in the world.
Good work. I've got bigger news than that.
What?
I have.
No.
You know this man. Everyone knows this man who spent hours standing outside a fashion boutique store here in Melbourne, and he used the fishing rod.
Oh, you were fascinated with this bloke.
To hook a Versace necklace.
Yep.
It was only worth $800 or $700. Wasn't worth it, to be honest. But he was there for 4 or 5 hours. Guess what?
What?
He's been caught.
Oh.
And guess what the cops have said?
What?
The one that didn't get away. Because he had the fishing rod. They're on fire,
boom,
the cops.
Boom,
yeah, exactly. The biggest, most interesting thing about this, because we saw a lot of footage of him.
He was an old man.
43.
What?
That's all he is.
No,
he's only 43.
He looked about 75.
I know. I don't know if he had a wig on or whatever, but he's been caught, the old fisherman.
Well, that's big news. But I can top that.
Can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
This was in the Daily Mail today. A family have been left shocked after a huge plant native to Mexico sprouted in their backyard in New Zealand.
No.
Can you believe it? It's from Mexico, this plant.
No.
And it's in New Zealand. Now, the family believe that this plant is so big, it's over 3 metres tall, that it could be classified as the tallest flower, if not in the world.
Wow. Mm. Wow. Wee. Mm. Is that, it's not ganja, I think, is it?
Mexico. What do they grow? The Mexicans grow the
This story is also in the news at the minute.
How's this one going, Raps?
Going beautiful. This story was in the news. Can you believe this, right? Sandra Bullock, who we all love.
Yes, yep. New movie. She got a new movie out.
Is it called what? Fast or Speed or whatever it is? Speed 18. It's about 18 of them. Guess she was seen arriving at a low-key gathering in Los Angeles and greeting a friend with her elbow. They didn't shake hands. They didn't hug. Greeted a friend, even greeted a friend with her elbow. Now, how does that make the news?
Seriously, come on. My last one.
Oh, no,
headline,
not more.
Yeah, this, we've got one more. Daily Mail. This is the big headline. Every girl's worst nightmare.
Yep.
Married at first sight's Hayley.
Yes.
She's the bogan from Frankston who was with David who left the show. She's been spotted at Sydney Airport. You wouldn't believe it with a wardrobe malfunction.
Oh, I like wardrobe malfunction.
Why? Jennifer J-Lo one at the Super Bowl?
Yeah,
Janet Jackson.
Janet Jackson. J-Lo.
So what happened?
She had a stain on her turtleneck collar, her makeup stain.
Oh, no.
Yeah, promise.
That's amazing.
She arrived at the airport with a makeup stain on her collar. There's a photo there, Daily Mail. That's real news, Bill. Fair dinkum.
You know what's happened?
That's real news.
What we're trying to highlight here, Rabs, there's no news.
Nothing. No. Absolutely nothing. Someone who does have some news
is Damien, the old four-eyed fossil Barrett.
That's a hook. For the first time this year, it's time for Damo's recovery.
Wrapping up the pre-season.
We get purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session. When you need a tool, call Coates Hire on 13 15 52.
He's the best in the business, thanks to Coates Hire. Damo, welcome.
Good to have Coates Hire back too, isn't it, Bill, for this segment?
Well, they've said we want Damo. We love Damo. He's the best, and you're going to give us the best.
Are we? That's the plan.
Where do we start?
We'll start a bit seriously, Bill. Yeah. We like to lighten it up on this program, don't we? But it is a serious issue and period now for obviously everyone beyond the AFL world. But when the AFL launched its season yesterday with its own clubs and had all the CEOs and presidents and captains in, and 95% of the discussion yesterday behind those closed doors was relating to the coronavirus outbreak. And it's a weird situation. Everyone is actually on the same page with it. They often fight at this day and they have blues and whatnot, but everyone came out of those gatherings yesterday knowing that there's a, and this is just a footy perspective, obviously, Joey, it's more important the health and well-being of people.
Of course.
But from a footy perspective, which is why we're talking today on this show, it's going to be a very difficult year. What they are, I suppose, comforted by is the fact that the AFL, is probably as well-prepared as any industry and business to cope with what it's about to be hit with. And what it's about to be hit with is quite dramatic. I think as soon as round two is when these spectator less stadiums are potentially
in play. So no fans at the ground.
Yeah, that was canvassed widely and thoroughly yesterday by the AFL with the clubs. And even speaking to people beyond those conversations, there's a preparedness now to go into it that early. And you just listen to what Daniel Andrews, and I know this is obviously a national program, Bill, but Daniel Andrews, the Victorian Premier yesterday, was as graphic as anyone's been in a political sense when it's a now, not an if. This becomes a pandemic. I do hear what he says yesterday and then factor in the other comment he made about please come to the Grand Prix en masse on Saturday. But we'll just park that scepticism to the side. He's clearly going to have the weekend allowing people to mass gather. The AFL, I think, will run in off that into round one, with obviously the Thursday night game being the starting point to that season. And then I reckon from round two onwards, it's just an unknown.
So my follow-up question then, Damo, if it's looking inevitable that we're going to have games without crowds, right? Because we believe it's precautionary.
Yep.
Is it inevitable that this coronavirus could sweep through our football club and players are going to have to be quarantined? And then what happens to a game on a weekend if you've sent 15, 20 of your players into quarantine?
Yeah.
Is there been talk about what happens to that team if they can't field a side?
There has been. That's obviously an extreme
possibility,
but it's one that was discussed yesterday. And the best I can answer that one, Joey, and I did ask this question, they will play the game of football somehow. And if that means there's top-up players, if that means that they're, their 18-year-old who they had no intention of playing this year, that they will somehow get a game of football played.
For that round, could they postpone a game potentially?
That's a possibility. Right. Yeah, there's 198 games in the course of a season these days with 18 teams playing 22 matches. So there is a commitment to have 198 games of home and away football played, whether that be at the time it's currently scheduled, whether it be a later date, whether it be with players who are not listed as we speak. But
which they've done with China, the China game already.
They've moved that back already.
They've postponed that. So I tell you, you'd love it. The broadcasters, because if fans aren't going to the games,
everyone's sitting at home
watching.
It causes a drama for them though, doesn't it, from an atmospheric perspective? Yeah. I mean, you hear the players already saying, well, how do we get motivated to go in and when there's no crowd noise? Others may benefit from that for other reasons that don't relate to the atmosphere and the aesthetics kicking? Of the game. Goal kicking might not be as stressful for them. I don't know, but all these scenarios are now being played out. And you might even have to, well, the question has to be asked, are media allowed in the stadium as well? I mean, are they calling it off a TV themselves, which has been done in the Marsh series anyway?
Mm. Very interesting, isn't it?
And how it impacts too. I mean, you mentioned, Joey, if there is an outbreak en masse at a particular club, I mean, the WA teams are the ones flying longest and most often. So they've got to be dealing with it in a different way to the other clubs as well. So there's just so many, many scenarios at play.
Have they even spoken about potentially wearing full-on suits? There's been some talk about that amongst clubs.
On the plane?
Well, imagine they have to wear the protective suits like doctors would wear or something
on
like
the plane?
That. Potentially. Well,
maybe. Or when they play.
They've got to have some contingency plans. No, not to play. To when they travel.
But
all I know is being in a football club, we know how quickly viruses and things can whip through a football club with gastro and the flu. It sweeps pretty quick at a football club. So if there is one person, we had a bit of a scare with the Fremantle player yesterday, that just made me think, well, if it goes through a club and everyone's quarantined, you can't field a side.
No, look, there is contingency in play that they're not going to broadcast and give us running commentary on, but they have fully thrashed out if there are maybe 6 to 10 people at one particular club who are hit, how they get through that, and they've got a plan around it.
All right, Damo, you've been very serious, but we need fun Damo next because we've got to ask you about your media commitments. You're getting bigger and bigger. Also, the Marsh Cup, and who coaches Essendon?
Yes, and you're going to be with Rossy Lyon this year. I want to see how your relationship with Ross is going to go.
All right, Damo, don't say anything. Yep.
This is the Rush Hour on Triple M. Your chance to win tickets to head along to the Rolex Formula One Grand Prix very, very soon. But right now for Coates Hire, Damien Barrett's in the studio.
Yeah, it's always great to have Damo in the studio because that means the footy season is coming and we can't wait, Damo. It's going to be another great season. Looking forward to it. But I'm fascinated by the Essendon coaching situation. We know that Rutten is going to take over from Worsfold at the end of the year. He took the reins during the Marsh Community Series. There is a feel that Ben Rutten will almost be coaching this team single-handedly at some point this season. Does it feel that way? And do you expect Worsfold to be addressing the players week one, or do you think it'll be Ben Rutten straight up?
Yeah, that's why I read it too, Joey. And the public component of this is going to be interesting the way it plays out, isn't it? And who will be addressing them at quarter time? And will that just be for the cameras at times? But I'm with you internally. The players obviously know that Ben Rutten is going to be there beyond this year, and they know that John's not. John has been very selfless in this arrangement. It's the last year of a deal anyway. I take the club at full 100% value on this, that they are convinced that he is in it for the right reasons. There is no issue with what he's going to be doing with the transition. But players aren't silly, are they? They know that one person's going to be there for the future, one's not. And as much as they respect the hierarchy of the coaching situation with John officially the coach when it comes to the paperwork that will be submitted each week, that the other guy is going to be effectively calling the shots. But it's not one of those ones where it's going to be awkward. I think they're all on the same page. And John will be encouraging of that as much as anyone else there.
So in the Marsh Cup, it's all been Ben Rutten?
Yep. And they've been very impressive.
After the game, who speaks?
Well, John has joked about that. If it's a 10-goal win, he'll be rushing out the door to take it. If it's a 10-goal loss, they'll have a conversation about it.
So, the other way, if they're going well, it'll be all Ben Rutten. And if they're going ordinary, they can blame John Worsfold because he's on the way out anyway.
What about some players that might struggle to come up for round one? Down at the Cattery.
Well, what do you know about those two big superstars at the Cats, Bill? Joel Selwood and Mitch Duncan both, again, have had, or certainly in Joel's case, an interrupted preseason. Yep. Mitch Duncan has had a really unusual, usually interrupted preseason for him with a hip issue. And as we know, he got banged up late last year, didn't he, on a couple of fronts. But I still feel they'll both play in round one, but I still feel they'll be very underdone.
No, I think Joel could. Not sure exactly, but I don't think Mitch will. I don't know if Mitch has done all the work yet. So.
No, I don't think he has, I still think he'll play.
Do you reckon he will?
Need them. They need them. Jeez, they've looked a bit scratchy in that couple of Marsh. They need those two boys.
I'll tell you what, thank God for the danger last and Jack Stephen, who was very good on debut.
Yep, he was.
Very good. But they are struggling a bit, aren't they?
GWS first up in Sydney. Not easier tasks than that first up. Heppel's a worry for Essendon, isn't he? Again, the club, you factor everything in when you ask questions about these situations. He played so sore last year with that foot injury when they got on that winning sequence that allowed them to make the finals. At ideal world, he's not playing in those games, but by playing, he actually got them the wins they needed to get in there. But You then link that up with what he's had in the off-season. The club will say on record that it is not directly related to that situation. I'm dubious about what the impact that may have had on his pre-season this year. And he he's such a proud man. It looks like he's going to be in doubt for, you know, maybe not just one, but maybe a couple.
Might be a few, exactly. Yeah. Harley Bunnell, again,
yeah.
A calf.
It's, you just can't see him playing.
When did this happen? Just recently?
It's just been ongoing, hasn't it? This most recent one was in the last week or so, but he's never got it to a point where he can actually train properly. And yeah, they haven't invested much in him. They gave him a chance, but it's now with round one about to be on our doorsteps. It's just unlikely that man with that history of bad body is going to be playing another game of AFL footy. Franklin's an interesting one in the Swans too, isn't he? With his injury just before Christmas, he was flying, but he hasn't done a preseason again. But they've timed it okay, and he got a body of work in before Christmas in an unusual way. So I think he will be ready for round one, and Ben Brown's the big worry for North, too, isn't he?
What's he got?
It's a knee,
calf?
Isn't it?
Was it a calf?
Constant knee problems, right. But it's a calf issue that's setting back in recent times.
What's happening in the media world? Because Footy Classified, two nights now this year.
Yeah, Wednesday as well.
Ross, with Ed?
With Ed.
Caro. And?
Lloydie.
Lloydie and Ross Lyon.
Ross Lyon.
Ah, interesting.
Do you reckon, they'll all get a big say?
No, I don't think they will.
And you're doing a bit of work with Ross Lyon, AFL media, this year. That'll be must watch.
I think this is public. Yeah, we're doing something. I think it is. Yeah. I am. To answer your question.
Oh. Yeah.
We're going to actually big meeting tomorrow to suss out the program, but there'll be a Ross program. He's doing a few things on AFL.com.au this year, which I'm really excited about, because he's Joey, as you well know. He's got a dry and a wry sense of humour, and I've had a few run-ins with Ross over the journey. So
get in line.
Who haven't you had a run-in?
Get in line. Sunday footy show. Chompers is back.
Yeah, those photos that went out during the week, Bill. You look good. I thought.
Oh, thank you.
Trimmed up a bit.
That's when I'd lost a bit of weight, but I've put it on. That was only a week ago. I saw Sam Newman. Is Sam doing a bit with us?
He did last year as well.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, that golf thing that went for four. What else, Damo, as you leave us?
Interesting one. Just
Coates.
Tyson Edwards is a name well known to people. A great Adelaide Crows player, 1997, 98 premiership player. Son by the name of Luke Edwards, who is yet to commit to the Crows under a father-son arrangement. All the recruiters tell me that he's very much a first-round pick. Certainly. As a worst-case scenario right now as we speak, in the top 20. But a little bit of watch this space as to what he will want to do with his football.
Bit of history there. Journey,
yeah, he had a brother at the club during the infamous post-2017 training camp, which
lingering a little bit, this training camp. It's still affecting the club.
Yeah, I'm a little bit sympathetic and empathetic now to the club now, because I do feel internally they've addressed it belatedly as best they can, but it does linger, Joey. And there's no doubt it's a part of the considerations being applied by Luke Edwards around what he does in the future.
I can't wait for eventually that tell-all story of what happened at that camp.
It might be too late.
It might be down the track, but everyone still doesn't really know what happened at that camp.
It'd have to be on late at night.
Would it? R-rated.
Oh, no, not necessarily R-rated, but it's not for kiddies viewing before 8:30. If it was a full tell-all. Yeah.
And how's Hutch, all right?
What do you ask about that?
I just want to know how the boy is. We like Hutch. We want to know.
I saw him today through a computer screen. He's all right.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
All right, Damo. Coats higher. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Damo.
Time to connect, Joey, with the Rush Hour family now. 133353.
Love this.
How tight is your mate? Is the question. Because
we've all got one.
Oh, we got a lot. Especially in the footy industry.
There's always tight asses.
Journos and players. But I got a mate. Let's call him Numbers, all right? Has a lot of numbers in his quaddies. But he works on the wharf.
Yeah.
And wharfies have got a lot of stories, good and bad. They've got a lot of stories. I was talking to him the other night down at the Cremorne. We're just having a...
I've heard that's a nice pub there.
Yeah, squash. And we're talking about tight asses and who's tight and all that. And he swears to me out there, all right, there's this bloke. We'll call him Albie. That would take, have a listen to this, right? That would take his wife's false teeth to work so she couldn't eat at home during the day.
Hey, is this one of your jokes?
No, it's not a joke.
What?
He would take his wife's false teeth to work so she wouldn't eat the food at home during the day. And he'd bring them home at the end of the day and give it to her and she'd be starving.
It's a form of, like, torture. Yeah.
Well, that was that is true.
That's true.
Yeah, numbers told me that. So, have you got one?
Oh, nothing like that. I've actually got a mate that's a massive tight ass.
Yeah.
You want me to tell? Oh.
Yeah, go.
Well, no, his whole 30th speech was about how tight he is. He was a bloke that when he had his iPad, used to drive to McDonald's to get the free Wi-Fi, and then he'd drive the streets, and he found a neighbour whose Wi-Fi wasn't, like, locked, and he could sit out the front of the house and use her Wi-Fi.
No.
We used to have a barbecue.
That's tight.
Barbecue. Oh, bring all like the food, yeah. Bring all the food and grog. Someone bring some salad. Someone bring an antipasto. Bring something to the barbecue. Yeah. He rocked up with a block of cheese. Just a block of cheese. That was it.
That was it.
That was all he bought.
So now when you talk to him, everyone
was known as Brie
or anything.
No, it was like a coon, just a sort of cheddar, block of cheddar cheese. No biscuits, no platter, just a cheese. Anyway, we've all got a mate like that.
We have 133353. How tight is your mate?
Yeah, give us a call and you and a mate will score Sunday race tickets to the Formula One Rolex Australian Grand Prix, celebrating its 25th year. Did you know that, Bill?
I knew that in Melbourne.
Yes, it is. It's the Rush Hour on Triple M.
How tight is your mate? We're asking the question there. Numbers told me about a bloke who would take his wife's false teeth to work so she wouldn't eat the food at home during the day and he'd bring them home at night, which is very nice of him. 133353. And we know about the old cheese, your mate, Cheese.
Old Cheese, that's what we call him. Old Spencer, you know who you are. Luke. Let's start with Luke from Wallen. Luke, how tight's your mate?
Mate, I've got this friend that if we're going out for dinner and there's four of us at the table,
yep.
Everyone eats what they can. If there's like a piece of broccoli left or chips or something, he'll go up to the waitress and say, can I put that in the takeaway container?
The doggy bag.
Does it embarrass you? Do you guys get embarrassed and think we shouldn't even go out for dinner with him?
I do. I'm like, don't invite him next time. Do not invite him.
But does he...
It's the most embarrassing thing.
Do you throw in the money at the end of the night when you split it all up? Is he okay with that?
Hey.
Don't worry about it. Thank you, Luke. Shannon's there in Cranbourne. G'day, Shanno. Shannon.
Yes. How are you guys?
You got a tight mate?
I got a mate that wanted to go around Australia. And so to do it on a budget, he used to pull over when he'd get low on tank and pull over and siphon the doses for the diesel. So he'd have to pay for the diesel. And this is the same bloke that comes round for a drink and brings half-strength beer.
Yes.
You know who you are, John.
Yeah, John, I like it.
He'll have one of them, leave the fire pack, and then drink all the heavy.
Yes.
Jono.
Jono. Trick, Jono. Come on, Jono. Good one, Shannon. Like that call. Daniel from Doreen. Daniel, this might not be your mate. Is this maybe a bit closer to home?
Yeah, the mother-in-law.
Yeah.
Where do I start? She's always got tinfoil in her handbag, so every time we're out for dinner, whether it be a pub or a restaurant, she'll just roll it up and take it back home.
And is that for the pet dog or anything, or is that for her to keep for the next day?
For herself.
My mum used to do it. Jesus, embarrassing. She'd bring out the tinfoil, wrap up the cake or a chop or something. It is embarrassing, Dan, isn't it? Yeah, Bill. Zach's there in Melbourne. G'day, Zach.
G'day, mate. I've got a mate. He's got a proper full-time job and everything.
Yeah.
Last week, he open-mouth kissed a homeless man for a sandwich and a tin of tomatoes.
Oh, no. For a sandwich and a tin of tomatoes.
Wasn't even a good one, mate.
Oh. What kind of bet's that?
What are you?
That is a weird bet. That is a terrible bet.
Joel, straighten us up a bit. Joel, what do you got? How tight's your mate?
So at Christmas time, she would bring a chicken for Christmas.
Yeah. Yep.
And then she'd take that chicken back with her home and then take all the leftovers with her. Oh. And that's what everyone else had.
Well, there are a lot of leftovers at Christmas time.
That is.
There's a lot of ham and pork and chicken, so I don't mind that as such. Simon's there in Berwick. Hello, Simo.
Yeah, g'day, guys. I've got a mate that when he goes to the supermarket, he always goes through those self-serve registers, makes sure there's always 7 cents left. So, for instance, if you buy something for $10, you do the mixed payment, like you put $9.93 on there, so it leaves a 7 cents, so then you just put a 5-cent piece in and you don't pay the extra 2 cents. Always
So he always saves 2 or 3 cents every time he goes.
Every time.
What's his first name, Simon?
What's that, sorry?
What's his first name?
Out him.
His name's Simon.
Oh, that's you. It's not you, Simon, though, is it? Hey. Is that you?
It is.
Oh, well done for dobbing yourself in.
Yeah.
You can have the Formula One Grand Prix tickets. Starts this Thursday. It's the Rolex Australian Grand Prix.
Yeah, Simon, you got 2 tickets to race day Sunday.
Thank you very much, guys.
We've got one more caller. We've got Jennifer on the phone. Hi. Jennifer, can we please hear your story?
I've got a girlfriend who actually uses disposable plates at a barbecue and then collects them after the barbecue and washes them and uses them the next time the barbecue's on.
Oh, the old disposable plates with grease and crap on them.
Imagine going to a barbecue and you see the recycled usable plates come out.
Again.
Oh, dear.
We've got another double to give away if you want.
Joey, you can give one. I gave one to Simon.
Yeah, so I like Shannon. Shannon for his mate that ciphered the diesel.
Travelling around Australia.
Travelling around Australia.
Yep.
Shannon, you're going to the Grand Prix as well, mate. You and a mate on Sunday.
That was Shannon's Shannon's mate, John.
Yeah, big Jono.
You can grab your tickets for the Rolex Australian Grand Prix at grandprix.com.au, Bill.
Exactly. It's a fantastic event, and there'll be a lot of people there.
You reckon?
Will there?
Yeah, will be.
You'd expect it to be the smallest crowd in a long, long time.
No, it'll be massive. It'll be a good event. It'll be a great event.
It'll be huge.
Huge event.
Might
it's
be the
great.
Last time we can all get together.
I reckon then. I'm going.
No, I'm going.
I don't care. I'm not scared.
I'm early.
Love the Grand Prix. Don't
Never
love Bill's
had
joke.
No money.
That's coming up next. JB back, of course, on Monday. The Grand Prix kicks off tomorrow.
It does.
Bill, just around the corner from here.
Oh, I know, just down the road here. And it's always a big, big event, of course. The 25th year, which is unbelievable. But just reading here, breaking news, 3 Formula One team members have tested for the virus.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't mean they've got it, of course. But it's just unbelievable, this virus outbreak.
They haven't named who they are, Bill?
No, not what they haven't named what team. So how's Daniel going? Daniel Ricciardo. Is he going all right?
Not really.
Ungins gave us 2 thumbs up. He loves F1, but I don't think he's going that well.
No.
He's not going that well. He's our big Aussie champ, but I don't know if he's going to compete with the big dogs.
Mercedes, I think, is still the number one.
Yeah.
Righto.
Yeah.
What else you got over there, Joey?
Fox Footy have put up their predicted ladder for the year.
Yes.
No, nothing too exciting. Except they've put Hawthorn 4th.
What?
Hawthorn to finish 4th. They're saying that they love the Hawks' form line, the way they finished 2019. Tom Mitchell back, which everyone forgets, Brownlow medalist, and John Patton looking fit.
Yeah. He'll be good, Johnny.
The Hawks. I do think the Hawks can play finals, absolutely. So that doesn't surprise me. And probably the big surprise, they have Essendon at 15th.
Essendon.
Yeah, after talking about the Bombers, whose form in the preseason has been very good.
Well, yeah, it's been okay, but they haven't got a ruckman to help Tommy Bell Chambers. And I did see today they've signed up the young boy from South Australia, from Adelaide, Henry Crawford.
Crawford, yes.
Yeah.
Sandful, so another ruck getting picked up.
204, so they picked him up, 204 centimetres. So good luck to him. Hey, did you agree with Bontempelli, Robbo's top 50 yesterday, as number one?
No, I didn't. I think out of those top, out of those big dogs, I think he's probably the 5th. I still think Dustin Martin, Nat Fyfe, and Paddy Cripps are ahead of Marcus Bontempelli. But I can understand where Robbo was coming from. He was saying by the end of this season, who will be the number one. Right. So he's expecting Bontempelli to take the leap. I just think in front of goals, he's not good enough yet. He doesn't kick enough goals compared to, say, Dusty. And Nat Fyfe's going to play a bit more forward. Yeah. Paddy Cripps is a wonderful player. But those 4 and Dangerfield are probably the big 5 that you can't argue with. They are the 5 best players in the comp.
He's going to be a very good captain because he's got a bit to say on the ground and off the ground. I reckon he's going to be a really, really good captain, the Bont.
Absolutely.
I like the way he goes about it.
And I like the Dogs as a team too. So it's, we're very spoilt for superstars at the moment.
All right. Now, tomorrow on the show, we Bridget to Chloe. We love Bridge.
You love Bridge.
Well, she's playing footy. We'll see how she's going with the footy.
Didn't you guys do a show with Bridge?
Yeah, we did the summer breakfast.
Yeah.
Yeah. The 3 of us were reunited.
Reunion.
Yeah. Oh, no. She was on with Daisy. Because she's going to play footy.
She
was talking about going down, buying some footy boots, and going to play footy. So we'll just see how she
Asked Bill to come down and coach, and do you know what he said?
No, how much?
No.
Unless you got paid.
No.
Would you do it if they offered you some money?
Well, she didn't offer money. And also Brendan Julian, because the Aussies are playing cricket again.
Another one-day tournament.
Against New Zealand.
Big BJ.
I'll tell you what is interesting. I don't know if you've heard about the doco they've done on the Australian cricket team with Justin Langer,
no,
behind the
scenes. Were talking about, you're very excited about this.
Well, there's a bit of in-house tension. With Khawaja and JL.
Mm-hmm. Justin Langer.
Justin Langer. And he has a crack at them about they've all got these theories and none of them are any ip and good.
Yep.
So he has a bit of a crack. So it'd be good to have a look at that because we all see JL as pretty casual, pretty, just sits back and has a look at it. But I think he has a big crack at him.
I reckon he's pretty intense.
Yeah,
I would have thought he's pretty intense.
The way he talks is not. I reckon he's all right.
He doesn't blink.
People don't blink. That's all right.
Very anyway, good. Joey, you got a joke, Bill, to finish us off?
I haven't got a joke. What do you mean?
This is Billy's joke.
Hang on. What do you mean?
You haven't been laughing at my jokes.
Because the last couple have been very, very ordinary.
So I heard this one. I was down the Cremorne Hotel the other day, and I was at the bar with this yank, and he told this very, very funny joke.
I just can't take it no more. I'm getting a divorce. My wife is out after midnight every night, going from bar to bar. Driving me nuts. Can't take it no more.
Well, what's she doing?
She's looking for me.
Not bad, eh? She's looking for me.
Yeah, I heard it.
That's not bad.
You but know, it wasn't you. It's Bill's joke. An American tells a joke on a phone.
Bill's joke that he heard.
No.
Yes, it is. I like that. I didn't mind it. It tickled my fancy. So there you go. Another good show. If you heard it.
We're back again tomorrow.
Come on, Bill. Come on. Sam, plan, boom, wah, 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 wah.